Call this meeting to order of the Cree Beach Town Council. The purpose of our meeting today is a special meeting for the Town Council to hold the council retreat to discuss and consider various topics of importance to the town. What, Mandy or Beth, we gonna go through public comment first and let do the PowerPoint?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. First thing we have is a public comment. Persons making public comments shall do so from the podium, provided their name, address, and be limited to 3 minutes. Written and email comments will not be read in the meeting and will be included in the minutes of the meeting. Speaking out of turn from the audience or inflammatory, immaterial, or irrational comments are not permitted. A comment seeking a response may be responded to by council, addressed by during the department reports, or delegated to staff. So I have one person, and Amy, you're up. Name and address, please.
Hello, I'm Amy Curtis at 802 Largo Way, Cree Beach. Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Councilman, and Department Heads. I'm speaking this morning to request monies to be expended and budgeted to address the lighting issues on the hard court surfaces at Joey's Park. On December 12th, I sent an email to Jimmy and Head of Public Works informing him that 5 of the 12 lights on the tennis courts were not working. To my knowledge, no repairs have been made at this time. It is my sincere hope that repairs to the lights can be done ASAP with general funds as a regular maintenance requirement. I also request that funds be added to the 25-26 budget to replace all hard surface court lights with LED lights. Currently, the only hard surface area with sufficient lighting for nighttime play is the eastern tennis court, which allows for tennis play only. No pickleball on that court. All other courts, including the basketball court, do not have sufficient lighting for proper nighttime playing conditions. Lack of proper lighting shortens court time, court play time in the winter due to daylight lengths, and restricts summertime play to the hottest hours of the day. I am aware of the current plans for the complete renovation of Joey's Park, but as this project completion is several years away, this is an immediate lighting problem that needs to be addressed ASAP. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
Oh, here's a... Thank you, Chair. There's a crude diagram of the court.
Okay, for the citizens that are here today, we will have a lot of discussion, as you see, with our department heads. We'll talk a lot about things for the upcoming budget year. We really won't take any action as such, like in a regular council meeting. We'll give the staff direction on how to move forward with preparing their budget. So just be a lot of talk back and forth, but don't see any motion being made unless it's to have consensus on what they should include in their budgets for the coming year. We won't get, Arlene, you won't go through this the PowerPoint, or what are we?
I think that was really that was later, actually.
Okay.
I think that was for the mid-year review was what I
All right, do that for the mid-year. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. It was at the top. So we'll go right into department head presentations. Public Works, Jimmy, you're up. What we got, what you doing, Jim?
He's going to go off that slideshow because that's where they gave all the information.
Yep. That's it. Okay. All right. Good morning, Council, everyone. First of all, I'd like to let everybody know that the all the tennis lights were replaced 2 weeks ago, so every light is working there. I don't know if anyone's played any tennis or anything for the last 2 weeks and been bad, but all that has been updated.
I hate Amy left.
Right, I was the only one.
I'll send her an email.
Yeah, send her an email and say, go turn them on tonight and look.
Yeah, they've been completed over 2 weeks ago.
Thank you.
What I'd like to do today is just start out with a general fund, basically going over some projects that were in place and projects that are going to take place. I guess basically just starting with the street paving today. On this, I did give the council an update, well, the schedule for the street paving. The only thing I see this year is, which was in the orange, 25-26 paving route schedule. I am going to have to reschedule this section of town. I may have to reschedule it, move it back to maybe another year or so, due to the fact that we have multiple issues down south with some of the sewer relining and some of the laterals that need to be replaced. So we're basically, what I'm going to do is go back through this, and more than likely we're going to go with the green, which would be the 26-27. I'm going to
You're just going to flip-flop the
Yes,
two.
Or I'm going to just flip-flop it around.
Jimmy, do you want me to pull up the other thing that you have, that you emailed?
Which one?
The schedule.
The schedule?
The one that you sent to me, or I mean, scan it.
Oh, yeah. That's fine, yes.
You want to pull it up?
But I'm just going to go through this right quick.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
And then let council know. The street paving this year, I put in $100,000, which I'm sure I'm going to have to increase. Due to the amount of roads that are going to have to be repaved. The boardwalk replacement, that's something else we will have to discuss later down the road, but I put $25,000 again for repairs this year. The handheld radios, I'm asking for 10 handheld radios because all of our handheld radios have, the batteries do not work no more. So it's been over 10 or 12 years since we've had new radios. That's basically it in the general fund. If you'd like to go switch to the water and sewer fund, please. Okay, once again, this goes back to the AIA grant that we have not really gotten completed yet. So a lot of these are just placeholders. For 25-26, I'm asking $10,000 for sewer manhole rehab, $100,000 for sewer pipe relining, the wellhouse rehab. It has already been completed. All four wells have been rehabbed. They got done this year. And I put $200,000 in for miscellaneous water and sewer projects that I'm not quite sure what is going to pop up right now. And new lights for the water tower, which will run around $5,000. Any questions on anything?
You got one water tower or both water towers?
Well, I will do both water towers at the same time. And then, once again, the stormwater fund, if you look at that, I have a, there'll be a couple small stormwater projects. One of them will be in Seward, and the other one will be off of Alabama, which would be just really, installing some a couple catch basins and a few pieces of pipe. So you know, that normally averages out about $40,000 for a project like that.
We don't have beach renourishment coming up this year. Many of the outfalls are currently broken and buried. Do we need to change this 25-26?
Yep.
You got 200,000 every year, but...
Yes, I didn't know if we wanted to discuss this later on while we do discuss stormwater or not, but each year I've included $200,000 for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I finally got quotes late Friday afternoon, or I'm having them up on the screen. Doing rehab on the outfalls is going to run anywhere between $90,000 to $125,000 a piece. So that's what I was going to discuss later. Yes.
And there, well, that's going all the way back to the street, so it's not just on the beach side.
Yeah, right.
That's why it's so expensive.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And there are three that we will be bringing to the I guess it's the March, the February meeting.
Yeah.
For budget approval in this cycle year to do three. So the recommendation is the worst three, which were J, H, and down by Davis.
Yeah.
Because of flooding, and we'll talk about this afternoon at Stormwater, those three will be recommended to do this year. And then the rest, based on what we saw in the camera assessments that we did, we will want to start working on in the next budget year. So this may change a little bit.
Okay. Good. Okay. Just
Arlen, the $200,000 is just a capital plan. Do we actually budget that much? Okay. Actual budget that much?
Right now, that's just that's the plan for the future.
Yeah.
This year, what we have budgeted is $150,000 for miscellaneous.
And that's the one that we're going to be changing.
Right.
Most likely in the February meeting, we'll be bringing a recommendation for that. Now that we have the quotes.
Okay. I think we'll get into this deeper this afternoon.
Yep.
Yeah, right. Now, for the challenges and budgetary impacts, I think for this year is going to be, I like to talk a lot about our staffing that we have going on right now and how we can possibly equal things out. Well, last year we got approved for 16 employees. Was it last year or the year before last?
It was a year longer
than that, a
couple years.
Okay, well, 3 years ago. Do you want to go to the chart now, please? Okay, as you can see, back in 2020, we had, there were 15 employees that was working for the town of Curry Beach. Council approved an extra guy and moved it up to 16 people. If you can look through the graph, and if you have any questions or anything, maybe I can answer one a little better than what this chart's showing. But down at the bottom, it's showing the months, the number of employees, the total employees that we've had for 16 employees, and the number that we actually had for the last 4 years. So right now we are actually down four employees, which puts us in the department of 12 employees right now. So we're trying to work through and trying to figure out how we can outsource some stuff to make things a little better on the town and the employees of the Public Works Department, which are during the summertime and stuff like that, we're pulling 7 days a week with the garbage and stuff like that. Wells, I mean, it's just, that. I think this is a big contribution to the reason we were losing employees. A lot of employees are going to find different jobs. Some of them are just actually going into state jobs and jobs that only require them to work 5 days a week instead of 7 days a week. So Ian and I and Robin and most of the Public Works Department have been discussing how we can possibly overcome some of the shortage. One would be to go with a temporary service to help out around town as far as some of the trash pickup and stuff like that. But there's issues with that also due to the people not having CDLs. They most of the temp services do not require tents to have CDLs and stuff like that. So it would be basically them guys on the back of the garbage truck. And I did get a quote late, I think Thursday afternoon from this Todd Lambert as far as the pay hours or the pay rate and stuff like that. But he told me it was, it's gonna be very difficult to get people to come in and actually do what we do 7 days a week. So what I'm asking council today is let me look into outsourcing the garbage for the town and possibly privatize the garbage situation that we have. Because most of the garbage in town, it takes up right now probably 50 or 60% of the time that the man hours that I have for my guys.
And so I think to flesh that out a little more is during the budgeting process this year, Jimmy and I worked with Arlen to get quotes to look at multiple options around work in the Public Works Department. So if you look at this graph closer, what you see is that even though council has supported Public Works, we've been unable to obtain the staffing that we have targeted based on the workload for the past 3 years. And this year, even worse, if you look at just the red starting in May, we were at 15, so we're almost back to staffing, but then it dropped off and it continued to drop off through the year. The reality of the labor market and what we do is there's a lot of competitors for people that want to do trash, and the competitors are closer to where they all live. So instead of driving all the way down to Curie Beach and having weekends, basically 1 and 3, you can work at a bigger place like Rice Fork, Cape Fear Public Utilities, or Waste Management, or one of the other things, not have a weekend every 3, and not drive every day as far to get to work. So, I mean, the affluence of the south end of the county is really hurting us. Looking at this, Jimmy and I have been talking what are our options, and we'd like to present them to council. So we need permission from council to work with Arlen to start reaching out for potential contracting so we can look at the financial implications. And then what we will probably do is present 3 to 4 options to council during the budgeting process on what we think would work to answer this problem. And so the mayor reached out and gave us a temp agency, and that was our first start on trying to solve the problem. We'll continue to work that path, but I'm concerned, and so is Jimmy, that we're not going to get staffing to where we need it to for all the work we do. I think Jimmy's done, and his team's done a good job of covering, but I think you're starting to see it in multiple places. The beach accesses are the lowest tier, and so you can see that. Atlantic Avenue, you see it there. And then as we push more and more with less and less people, eventually some of those people are going to start looking around too, and we don't want to get there. So appreciate council's help with Jimmy, when we, at the end of the season, we gave bonuses to Public Works, because I think that's an important thing to help us maintain staffing. We don't need to lose any more. But honestly, I think the right long-term stance for the town is to offload some of this work, and we just got to find the right work. And I know that there are some citizens in town that would, my grandfather's like not very happy that I'm even talking about this. So, and I'm sure there's a bunch of old timers in town that will be very against this. And I understand it, because our citizens like the fact that their trash is getting picked up by Curie Beach employees, as opposed to different people coming in every week, like is what happens in Caroline Beach for waste management. But realistically, I don't know that we're going to, I don't think it's the right thing to do to try to financially incentivize our job over all the other ones, because we just can't afford that. So I think outsourcing is possibly the right option, and that's why I want to explore it.
Do you gentlemen have an estimate at all on
financial
impact?
No, we haven't started yet. That's why we're doing it now. So we can build it in the budget, right? So our next budget meeting, which I'm sure at the end of this original, or I'm going to start talking about the budget meetings, we'll have that as a separate slide. Here's the impact. That'll give us time to reach out.
And to be honest with you, this is a big decision for us.
That's right.
And it may require a special meeting if we need more time to discuss it. It's multi-layered.
Exactly right. Because there's a bunch of ways to approach it, right?
And we have equipment, we have manpower, yep. We have a lot of things that we have that customer service that we're going to lose, where if somebody misses their garbage and calls up, the guys will swing back by and pick it up, or if there's a special pickup, we can help people out. We're going to lose a lot of stuff. So there's a lot of things we're going to lose, but Jimmy, I'm totally with you. I mean, you can't sustain at 12 people. We need to give this some, there's a lot of different, as I said, there's a lot of different layers to this. Not only is this not as simple as hiring someone to start picking up our garbage.
Right.
Because once we do, we can't ever go back. And we got assets that we're going to have to know how we're going to dispose of also. So yeah. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of work to be done. And,
yep.
And I'm not belittling the situation, because I think it's where we need to do our homework, and we need to move forward with so Jimmy's guys, if we're going to stay somewhere at 12, I mean, once you get one or two, get some guys that didn't even work a day, did they? I mean, didn't come back.
2-day guy and a 2-week guy.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, I think it makes sense. My only concern would be, this is probably going to be, like, as David pointed out, a very long process. What do we do about this summer? I mean, we're going to have 12 people, and that's when people quit or get frustrated. I know we've talked about removing the trash cans on the beach or doing some things so that they're not doing.
Well,
is there anything we can do to get
trash off
this
the
summer?
Beach. Moving the trash off the beach will help out some, you know, but it's not going to solve the issue of being short staffed.
But you're just moving moving
the
trash to the street.
How do you get through the summer?
But you're just moving the trash to the street. You're not removing the trash. The trash is just going to be sitting on the side of the road,
right?
Instead of, so it's still got to be picked up.
Yeah.
It's still got to be cleaned. It's even more unsightly on the street. So that's another thing we've got to
more trash down on the street.
We got to make sure that we look at that closely also. But Jimmy, I think y'all should. I mean, I know y'all wanted a direction. I think you're hearing from all of us that that's where you should go.
I was just asking council.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Just one, is there a hybrid form, can we meet, in doing this?
That's what I think we'll bring to you.
Okay.
So I think Jimmy and I wanted council approval. We started calling people and getting quotes and stuff. That's what this question is. And then as we look at it, Jimmy and his team, we will say, here's option one, option two, option three, option four. Here's the pros and cons, and here's what we recommend, and then council will decide. So, I mean, it starts out with, okay, there's weekend trash, there's beach trash, there's business trash, there's residential trash. Those are four different things. So some of the options are just offload some of them, like move the cans off the beach to the public beach accesses. And if you do that, then that takes away a huge weekend issue with no impact at all, necessarily. And then business trash, and then the front row trash for all the rental properties. So if you break trash up, there's a bunch of different facets to it. And then which ones do we keep, which ones do we get rid of?
Right.
Right? And so it's not necessarily an all or nothing. And that's why we don't want to start working on it, because this is where you're hearing it. But as soon as Jimmy starts requesting quotes, or Alan starts requesting quotes, it'll be out in town. And I didn't want it to be out in town until council knew about it. So that's what we're telling you guys. We will bring back to the budget process, here's the different options, here's the financial impact, here's the manpower impact, here's what we recommend. And then council will give us direction.
Right.
To start out, we just really need to get some preliminary type quote, because we're going to have to do a formal,
that's right, exactly,
RFP,
right,
process. So we don't really want to go out and kind of like officially solicit,
no, exactly,
quotes,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah, point. But even you calling just unofficially, the word will get out.
Well, no, I know that. I just meant like it's not going to lock us in until we're,
no,
we are.
There's a lot of contract stuff. I agree.
Process, so.
But I don't think it has to. I think it could start in next budget year if we do the, if we work it in the budget process right now. And so by July, we could be doing something. And some of the decisions we can make before the season, realistically, as early as the March meeting. You know, I don't know how fast. We have more budget meetings starting in February, right?
No, the first one really is early, that I'm proposing is early April, kind of the same.
So then we would, anything that is just takes council action, we would bring to the February or March meeting so we could do it before the season.
I think it's been very aggressive.
Okay.
I think getting the RFP and,
well, no,
getting,
I'm talking about things to change. To the perfect example is the beach trash. That just takes council action to move the cans off the beach to the beach access. Whether council decides to do that or not is a different issue, but that can be done without any RFQ or anything.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's just communication to the citizens and the decision. So there are some other things that are similar to that that we'll bring to council, and then council can tell us yes or no. So Jimmy and I will work on that. But that's why we wanted to talk about this.
I think we should not close anything out. We should keep an open mind. We should investigate every possible avenue to help you out on this, Jimmy. But we got to know exactly what we're getting into, and the pros and pros and cons.
Well, like I said, I wanted to be able to bring up this conversation and discuss about it. You know, it is eventually, it's going to be an issue.
Hmm. It's change.
Yeah, it sure has.
It's just changed.
You know, even as simple as getting the cans off the beach, and especially on holidays and stuff like that, it saves two guys 2 to 3 hours.
Is that going to change? But I'm not. I'm getting into the weeds way too much. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's
just, okay. So just we'll wait to hear back from y'all.
Is that a consensus from council for the record?
Yes, I would say it is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, other than stormwater, which I'm sure we're going to get into a little more later on this afternoon, that's basically all that I have that's going to impact our 25 budget this year.
Thank you, Jim. Mm-hmm. Bethany, you're up.
Good morning, Mayor, Council.
Good morning.
I'm going to start off just giving kind of the follow-up on our statistics from 2024. We're about where we always are, a little bit over on permits issued. We issued about 192 permits, 24 new residential units, 14 were single family, and we had 10 new townhomes. So we're getting an increase in townhome units for sure, and one new commercial public works building under construction right now. We're at about 300,000 fees, or over 300,000 fees, which is consistent with what we've been doing over the past few years. We are down to about 158 vacant lots. I think seven still oceanfront. We still have in a majority of redevelopment, especially on the oceanfront. So our empty lots are still sitting. For the inspections department, the 2024 North Carolina Building Code was due to go into effect in January. They pushed it out to July. So on July 1st, 2025, this new 2024 code will become mandatory. So the only thing that really means to you guys is I'll be ordering some new code books. Other than that, there's not a ton of changes in the building code. For code enforcement, obviously, had a kind of a big reduction in that. In 2024, there was 86 violations issued, 54 of which were garbage. We're still going pretty hard on the garbage violations this year. I only had 8 official violations for code enforcement. It's been mostly on a complaint basis this year, so we're going to start seeing some repercussions from that. If I don't get back onto the code enforcement pretty quickly. So on that, I am currently interviewing for a new code enforcement officer, so hopefully we'll get that back in track by the time the season starts up again. I'm hoping to have the garbage violations being issued again, once again. CAMA updates. So, not really a lot of CAMA updates. It's been almost a year since we had our building management plan accepted and have been using that static line exception on that for pretty much all the new oceanfront development. So, I think due to that, we did have a huge increase in CAMA permits this year. In last year, we only had 5. This year, we had 14. So I think it's just allowed for, since the development line expired back in 21, it's allowed for development to kind of progress at this point. So, flood, we had our annual CRS recertification, which began in August and was completed in November. As a Class 9 community, we have to have 90% accuracy on our elevation certificates, which is actually extremely difficult because usually I'm only submitting 1, 2, or 3 of them, so they need to be perfect. So almost always that comes back and needs to be resubmitted again for a second try, but we did complete that and passed it. Obviously, we had PTC number 8, which stormwater, I'm sure we'll be talking more about this later on. Well, with that, we did complete the damage assessment within 2 days. With the help of county inspections, department coming out to help me out. The biggest impact on that is there is a large increase in complaints from property owners regarding the flooding concerns and their neighbors, town's infrastructure, and the impact of the development around them, especially as new construction takes place. Almost 99% of the time, I'm getting some sort of pushback from the neighbors of any new construction or any new development going on right now. So that's the biggest impact on that for me. Future budget considerations. Obviously, I'm trying to hire a new code enforcement officer. One thing with the flooding back in September is I noticed that I don't have an adequate vehicle to get around during these storms. So I wanted to propose, and I think Arlen put it into the proposed budget, possibly getting a department truck that would remain here and would be for me and the code enforcement officer to use, especially during storms like PTC, where I had to get down to Ocean Dunes during the storm, and I basically just hitched rides on trucks to get down there. So
tough thumbing this day and time. It's tough having a thumb this day and time.
One of the other things I want to start, I'm hoping to get permission to kind of start looking into, is possibly getting some new permitting software for my department. Having a lot of issues with even in the office, just being able to reference the GIS maps, they're shutting down a lot, it's glitching. I know we don't pay a lot for it, but it does not work out in the field. There's no way to log inspections out in the field. There's no way to look at GIS out in the field. And it's just, I think it might be time to start modernizing our software so that we can do more of those things. So I'd like kind of permission to start digging into that. It'll probably take a little bit of a while to find what's right for our department because it is so small. So most municipalities, what they use wouldn't be appropriate for us. So I'm going to start with looking at the finance software. They do have a permitting thing. Only that would just make it a smooth transition between my department and Arlen's department. But I do want to look at some other software companies that might work out, kind of decent pricing and stuff. So I'm not sure I'll have that ready for this year, but it's just something I want to kind of start digging into and looking at. Fee increases, but I think we're good on most of our permitting fees. However, we did notice just recently that there's kind of been a huge increase in our variance and appeal requests, which result in the quasi-judicial hearings. We have a $375 fee for that, which just hiring the court reporter alone is around $1,000. And then
$975?
Yeah, and then on top of that, there's, I don't know that we got the publishing costs on that yet, but.
That was about $150 per time, and I do it twice, so that's $300.
Yeah, so basically, we're losing a lot of money, and normally we would only be doing one or two of these every few years, but I'm getting requests from citizens almost on a weekly basis now of when they know they can't do something, well, how about applying for a variance? So I looked around at other municipalities to see what they were charging, and most of the fees for an appeal or variance is $450 to $500. So I'd like to propose increasing our variance and appeal fees only to $500 to kind of make up for this amount of money that we're losing every time we do one of these variances.
No, just be updating the fee chart that goes into budget, Arlen.
Be updating the fee chart. It's the same as what Riceville Beach does, which is similar to the way their department works with inspections and house and everything. And I don't want to do it for the HPC, preferably, because they were requiring them to do that. They're not requesting to do that. So I don't want to force a property owner in the B1 district every time they have to do something to pay this, you know, outrageous fee. Whereas if you're going to request a variance because you can't put a deck up in the setbacks, then, you know, you're going to, if you're willing to go that far, then you should be paying the fee for it, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think we should talk about the budget stuff because, I mean, the true cost should be charged the true cost, not
half
of
it.
Yeah,
I mean, the true cost is way more than $500, but okay. I think that, I don't know, I mean, and I can talk to Jim about this more, but I feel like if we make it too outrageous of a fee, that there might be some legal implications in that we're kind of trying to avoid anyone applying for a variance if we made it like a $1,500 or $2,000 fee.
Okay, so we should talk about the budget process, but Jim, we should charge what it really costs because the rest of the citizens shouldn't have to defray when you want to do something outside the code. I mean, one, I'm against variances just on principle, and that's why I always interview the P&Z people and the Board of Adjustment, that they're going to follow the code, but because a lot of towns do all kinds of variances and they run into problems, we don't have that many for a reason.
It's understood. There is something that I ran across years ago about fee levels, but I think probably the important starting point is just to see what everybody else charges.
Right. Okay, fair enough. But
I mean, I can do a little bit more research on it because I mean this is just something it kind of popped up maybe like a few weeks ago.
No, it's good.
I could put it on the list there too and see what other towns are charging.
Yeah, it's good for you guys to bring it up because, honestly, you know, for all of these things, and this is maybe the rest of council disagrees, but I think that, you know, if you're doing something different that's costing the town, the rest of the property owners shouldn't offset that for you. You should pay the real cost, right? Whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And we try to do that with secondary garbage cans and extra pickups on garbage. And I hope Arlen tries to do that with everything, because philosophically, it's like the town gives you these services for your taxes, and then the extra stuff, like the pickups that Jimmy does on Thursdays, you should pay that. Not everyone else should pay that, right? I pay plenty of those because I've had a lot of trash, but I just think that's how we should be operating the town.
I think actual cost for services is one thing. I think with respect to the variance, I don't know that you're ever going to get away of charging a fee that reflects the actual cost.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, if we can't do it, we can't.
So I think that something consistent with the other communities is probably the way to go.
Okay,
on
fair.
Variance, that's the only thing I'm focused on.
Okay.
I mean, you don't want somebody to have it as a, you don't want it to be a deterrent, but like you said, I know y'all have used court recorders more now because of making sure you get all that information. That's becoming more of the standard. So I look around, see what the other place, other towns are doing, maybe like-sized towns like us that are having to, we all be able to put some out on the listserv or something like that to see what we can come up with. I think that'd be appropriate. Then we'll discuss it during the budget meeting.
And that's one of those things that we actually don't have to wait for July 1st.
Yeah, we don't have to wait until July 1st. You give us some information, we can change that fee at any point, can't we?
And just out of curiosity, what is the current variance fee?
$375.
Okay.
Mm.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think with the increase, I just think that it's become... It used to seem so expensive, and so people wouldn't want to apply for it. Now people are like, oh yeah, let's just go for the variance and see what we can get.
We've had a few people even stand up there and say, I know I'm never going to get this today, but I'm here to present.
So it's not really we don't want it to be a deterrent, but we don't want having too low of a fee being a reason for.
Well, as Arlen said, we don't have to wait on the budget year for this. So if y'all can come up with some information and a recommendation that. February or March, maybe March is a better council meeting to come up with, since that's next week, or week after next, isn't it? So maybe we can go ahead and look at that cost ahead of time. So, hey, a question for you. Do you know how many homes were demolished because of damage from the storm?
So far, one
so far.
Paw Patch or whatever.
Yeah, that I knew that one, but
yeah, there will probably be others, but they have to go through the sale process and everything usually first before they do. But so far one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I was just curious.
I think they're all in Old Hamby Beach.
Yeah,
as far as
yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
So I've been paying attention to that. We'll talk about it this afternoon a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the last thing I want to talk about was training. Obviously, once a code enforcement officer hired, I will get them started on their training right away. But I am currently still needing to get my level 2 and level 3 certifications done for building inspections. And one of the issues with that is that Curie Beach doesn't have any level 2 and level 3 projects for me to get my experience levels. So what I'd like to propose doing is reaching out to the county or possibly some of the closer municipalities that also have building within, like Wrightsville Beach or Boiling Springs Lake, places where I can go maybe once a week or so and work on some projects out there with a level 3 inspector, just to, I do need to submit some projects that I worked on in order to get up to level 3. And it's kind of hard without Caroline Beach having an inspector right now, so that's how I'm going to all his.
They don't have an inspector right
now. Well, I mean, they have a county inspector.
They have a county, they did have a county inspector, yeah.
So I can
yeah.
either work with the county or, I just want to see who, I'm going to call around and kind of see who's available and willing to kind of take me in, so to speak.
You just got to find time to get it in that, get all this done.
Well, I'm going to wait until I have somebody settled into the office so that I know I have somebody sent in the office one morning. But, I mean, it'll at least something like, no different than kind of going out and doing my inspections, hoping just to kind of be out for a few hours during the day and then still be back in the office for the afternoon and vice versa. So just it kind of depends on how their schedule works and what kind of projects they have going on. So I'll call around and start trying to figure that out. But that's all I have right now.
Any questions for Bethany, y'all? Thank you. We appreciate it. When you get the new person on board, let us know so we can meet them. And,
of course.
Okay. Arlen, we're going to skip you, and you. Are you prepared to go next, or?
I could, but we really don't have any new request. We do have to renew our contract for our county software. This is, believe it or not, the third year from the time we originally signed the contract, so I think that renews in May or June of next year, or of this year, I mean. So, other than that, everything's kind of on track, doing all the filings on time. We're coordinating a lot right now with FEMA. We have another meeting with them on, there'll be some representatives here on again to our next meeting, trying to get something, anything from the SORM, but you know, that's still a work in progress at this point.
Does your financial software, does it have a part that could help Bethany out? I mean, do they provide a permitting?
We've talked already, and I'm going to arrange like a demo. We'll see what they actually have. When we got our software at that point, there wasn't interest from building inspections in changing software, so we didn't really pursue that module at all. So I'm not sure what all the features are, but we're going to take a look at that and see if
okay, good,
if that'll work or not.
Good.
Other than that, like I said, all the filings, a lot of different grant filings that have to be done right now between the AIA grants and the still American Rescue Plan, even though we've used our money, that continues to report those. The grant that we got for the Public Works Building, for the state the capital infrastructure grant. So there's a lot of different grants. And then the intersection project, even though it's being coordinated by someone else, got to provide a lot of information so that can be done. So a lot of different reporting there that continues, I guess. And then the last audit process, as we came out with, again, an unqualified opinion. So we'll keep that going forward. That would definitely, that's our goal each audit. Staff-wise, I think we're fine right at this point. We are kind of at a level where there's not too much more that we can really take on, but I think we're okay right now with the way we're organized. And I don't really see anything real new coming up in the future that I'm aware of in regard to regulations that the finance department needs to deal with. So it's kind of a real quick overview of us and what I think I see coming from the finance department.
I'd like to bring up a finance issue.
Right.
I know each of us has extra responsibilities with the town and the committees and the departments above and beyond just sitting up here. I've been thinking over the last year in the way we've needed our emergency manager, and he does a heck of a great job putting those memos together and keeping us all on track with what's happening. And I'd like to propose that we think about very seriously an emergency manager stipend, say $400 or $500 a year that go to the emergency manager for all that person does and is required to do, keeping up with the county and the state and then getting that information to us.
I have no input, obviously. There you go. Thank you very much, John. Appreciate it. I have no input.
That'll increase your pay at least.
And he did not come to me and ask for that.
I started saying.
I did not.
I saw y'all talking in the corner. No, I totally agree, John. I think it's a great idea. Arlen, if you'd just put that in your notes for the presentation. And I don't know if this is the time to talk about it, but, you know, if council wants to revisit council compensation, this may be a good time for at least know where we stand against. Arlen, if we could just see where we stand with other communities our size.
Okay. Yeah, I guess there I'll ask. Personnel can kind of do that. Usually they'll gather up that.
The personnel do that? Okay, so I'll have personnel. So y'all will help out with that.
Where's this from?
That's our pay.
Oh, all right. Did you
anything else for finance?
Not that I can think of.
Okay, thank you. Fire department.
What I just proposed.
Mandy, can you put up our one sheet, please? Thank you. Okay, so like I've done the last few years, our budget retreat discussions go off of one, what's requested, and then two, coincides with our five-year strategic plan. We're about halfway through this current five-year strategic plan. I've got no large upcoming budget requests, but I went ahead and added the things that we're either currently working on or we've already completed. So this year, we finalized the compliance of the new radios for the TDMA phasing. That was the purchase of the other half. So we currently have all those, and they are in operation and program, so we're good to go there. We purchased the new equipment for the new fire engine. The engine was purchased in 2022, but we just received it back in the beginning of January. So. Of course, everyone knows that today is the push-in ceremony, so we're going to put it in service at 7 p.m. So any department heads or employees or anyone from the public is welcome to join. We're going to have the fire truck pulled out onto the apron at 4 p.m. And the on-duty staff is cooking hot dogs all day and giving tours. So we'll have hats and stickers for the youngsters, and then anyone from the public wants to check out their new fire engine, they're welcome to join. Pastor Dan is coming by at 7 p.m. to do a quick prayer, and then we're going to push in the truck at probably about 7:15. So that'll mark it in service. It'll be a good time. So anyone that wants to come, please do so.
Are you doing like a presentation of the truck to say here's how this works at any special time, or are you going to do it throughout?
That'll be throughout the day. So
it'll just be throughout. Okay.
That's great. That way people can come and go as they want. And then, like I said, at 7, we have our normal Monday night meeting with all of our volunteers. So that'd be the time if someone wanted, we could do a quick discussion before the prayer and push it in. So.
Okay.
We purchased the standby generators. We talked about that last year. We went with the same vendor that I believe Public Works is using for their new building. It's up and running. And then we just purchased the new SCBA. So I greatly appreciate council's support on that. We were able to save quite a bit of money by squeezing it in mid-year. We're expecting to receive those sometime in the next couple of weeks. So, upcoming budget year, I have no large purchase requests. In our five-year plan, I did have identified to replace my vehicle, but I'm going to push that back at least one more year. I've got no issues with it now, and maintenance on it is fairly minor. I think I spent around $1,500 this year with maintenance. So. Keep it running strong, and then of course continue our normal turnout gear and equipment replacement plan. So that's our large item each year. We try to replace four sets of turnout gear and keep most of our equipment within the 10-year NFPA recommendation. Does anybody have any questions on fire department budget? Okay. Ocean Rescue, this past year we purchased the new Ocean Rescue pickup truck. We're actually going to drop it off in Angier this week for stickers and lights, and it will be in service. You'll see it this coming year. We replaced two four-wheelers, which we do every year, and then we increased the salaries by COLA to stay competitive. So our current starting rate is $18 an hour.
And like we do every year, we try to remain competitive with Carolina Beach and Riceville Beach as best we can. So I've already received those phone calls from neighboring agencies on what we're looking to do. My general discussion was, which it is every year, we try to keep up with COLA that is recommended by our finance officer at a minimum. So our upcoming ocean rescue budget items with impact, we have a new side-by-side being replaced as part of our fleet replacement plan. Of course, like I said, increasing salaries by COLA to stay competitive. And then I wrote down emergency access replacement. I did have a brief discussion with Commissioner Panicali. I know we had talked about the grants purchasing the L Avenue Beach Access and then the one by the Lifeguard Shack. I believe the one in the Lifeguard Shack is still being discussed as being replaced in the near future. When John Batson was still here, I had sort of talked a little bit with him about it. I haven't quite talked with Beth too much. But kind of just starting the discussion of potentially making that access just a little bit wider to make it an emergency access. So we currently have an emergency beach access at Dent Avenue and one at Davis Avenue. The one by the Lifeguard Shack is big enough to get a pickup truck now. However, the turn radius doesn't support it. So I just threw it on there as a potential discussion. If we could at least look into the potential moving the walkway down, if we were even allowed to, with right-of-ways. And John had mentioned that the road just kept going behind the houses back in the day, so not quite sure if it's still a town right-of-way or easement or how that quite works, but at least discussing looking into that.
We're going to talk about CAMA grants this afternoon, and that's an area that will be discussed. So if council does decide to move forward with that, that's when we need to talk with CAMA and make sure the right-of-way is there, and when we design it, make sure it's able to support what you want to do.
Yes, sir. I think it would only take around 3 to 5 feet, but if we can at least have the discussion, I appreciate that.
Question for you, Chief. The ocean rescue down at the state park area, state recreation area, is that better than it's been in the past? I mean, as far as number of calls, what they're doing down there as far as training and number of guards, does that seem to be helping y'all out some?
Yeah, it is. Most specifically this year, we had a large reduction in our calls down there, so that was a direct impact that we could, you know, visualize and actually feel. I had a meeting with the state and the park rangers a year and a half ago, and the deputy director of operations actually came down and took place in that meeting. It was a productive meeting where we were able to actually discuss, anecdotally what the issues are. And since then, I know that they've drastically increased their staffing. So at the time they had, I want to say they had 4 lifeguards, and they had some kind of inflexibility with their hours. I believe they pushed that up to allow up to 16 lifeguards, which gave them more flexibility with their hours. But they've also they promoted one of the positions to a full-time position. So that's kind of given them a good foundation. They're currently working on getting their USLA certification, and they pretty much piggybacked off of our training program to where 2 years ago they trained alongside us. Last year they did it all themselves. So we still have regular meetings with them to make sure that we're kind of in line, but that's helped drastically.
Good. Glad to hear that.
One issue that we kind of have, and I kind of expect to see this year, when you go past the Riggins, you have 2 separate state locations. You've got the historic site, which is across from the new museum, and then you've got the actual state park. So their park rangers monitor the state park, and I think they do an okay job of poking their head over every once in a while. And then our lifeguards, of course, do Curie Beach. So with the new museum and the large parking lot, I kind of expect there to be an increase in the amount of people that go to the beach in that cove area, in the gray area, the historic site. So that's something that both us and the state park are at least keeping an eye on, and we're still trying to push for the historic site to maybe do something about that too. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. That's all I have.
We look forward to tonight, seeing you guys tonight. All right. Police Department. Brandon, you up? Or Mike doing it? Brandon doing it?
Brandon's going to do it.
What do you want up first?
Which one do you want up first? Is this one?
Yeah, that'd be mine.
Just the.
I can't read them.
This is in the
press. Yeah, it's in the press.
Oh, same one, yeah. Good.
I can't read on it.
I can't read on it. I hear you.
Historically, the police department has asked for 2 vehicles. We are asking for that again this year under our capital outlay section, requesting $135,000. That covers the purchase of the vehicles and the upfit for the blue lights and sirens. The 2 vehicles we're currently trying to replace have over 100,000 miles on them right now. We've seen an uptick in maintenance on our vehicles this past year. So this is staying within historical confines of what we've done in the past. The next thing we are asking for is 5 radar signs to be dispersed throughout the town. These are electric radar signs. We already have some currently. You've seen them riding around. We're asking for 5 at $5,000 a piece, which comes up to be $25,000. We've seen a lot of success with these signs. We've had a lot of good feedback from the community. We've also seen requests come in from the community for additional ones. I do want to throw this out there. The state of North Carolina has eliminated our ability to write paper tickets. It's no longer allowed by police departments or sheriff departments. We're having to use software programs, which right now are incredibly buggy as we're working through them. We also have a lot of connectivity issues down here with the internet. So you're going to see a downtick in overall citations for us. And I think this will help offset some of that in terms of the speeding until we can work through those problems.
Who mandated the
state of North Carolina? They have started rejecting all of our handwritten citations since December.
Does that mean if you get pulled over as an individual, you won't get a piece of paper either?
You will still get a piece of paper, but it won't be a handwritten one. It'll be one that we have to type into our MDT, our onboard computer, through a software program, and we have to carry these little printers in our cars that print them out, and you'll get a copy of it. But the problem is we're typing them in, but they're not syncing to the court system. So we're giving you a ticket that, according to the court system, never existed.
Oh, jeez.
So if I get caught doing something bad enough,
you might get away with it.
You might get away with it.
Really was throwing this out.
Now, for some reason, that didn't make a lot of sense to me. But
that's what I was trying to understand. What happens if you get pulled over?
So is it? It's not our equipment.
It's not our equipment. No.
No.
It's the state.
Now, are we using this Verizon hotspots for our connectivity? So it's not like the old days where you had to have those. Used to be a lot more expensive and complicated to get connection and everything.
It's still complicated. We still have a lot of connectivity issues, particularly down south. Even with our radios, and the fire department can attest to that, we have connectivity issues with our radios. Not only them, but also the Verizon Me fees or internet connections to the software. But the software is really buggy, having a lot of issues with it. It's Brazos is the name of the program. Statewide is having massive issues with it right now, so everybody's tickets are down. But just a side note.
Is that
keep writing?
Keep writing.
Yeah, keep writing.
Is that so the court system has an easier way of?
So the benefit to this, according to the court system, is a lot of tickets will now be able to be dealt with online. Even speeding tickets, you can get a reduction online. I don't quite know how it works yet. I haven't seen that side of it, but
so you can pay for it, have it dismissed, or
bumped
off.
Wow,
it's the lobbyist in Raleigh.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Let's talk about the radar signs just for a minute. Council, y'all know we requested funding through Representative Miller, Senator Lee. We didn't receive. A response on that. Connie and I are going to Raleigh in a couple of weeks for the city-state dinner. I plan on bringing this up again. We took it out of your budget last year. Let's leave it in if it's agreeable with council. Mm-hmm. We seem to have a person that's complaining a lot about speeding along Fort Fisher Boulevard. You're all getting the emails. I've talked to some other residents on Fort Fisher. They don't see there's a problem, but I do know those signs do make you slow down. But I've talked to some other citizens, and they said, we don't have a problem backing out onto the street because people, he said, I'm not saying a car, they're not speeder, but it's not on a regular basis, and they live right there, oceanfront, along Fort Fisher. So let's leave it in your budget, and let me see what how my talks go while we're in Raleigh about getting some more of that discretionary funding. So.
Are these all fixed radar signs, or some of them portable?
The ones we're talking about are fixed.
Like the ones at the north and the south end.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know if they were all fixed or a mixture of fixed and portable. Okay.
The next thing we're asking for is just a $5,000 addition to our overtime budget. Last year it was $20,000. We're asking for a total of $25,000. We have added another officer. And currently, we are a little bit over 50% of our current budget, and we're halfway through the current fiscal year, so we're asking for a little bit of a buffer there to offset any additional costs and overtime. The next portion we are asking for is another $5,000 for our travel and training budget. Last year, we asked for $20,000. We are asking for that to be up to $25,000. Main reason for that is the state is mandating additional training for firearms, which means we're going to have to spend more time on the range, as well as purchasing ammunition, targets, and other equipment that would be associated with that. Right now, we're over 60% of our budget currently, so we need to increase that just a little bit. The next item we are requesting is what's called the Police Benevolent Association subscription, better known as the PBA. It's a legal safety net for our officers. The subscription for each officer is $315 per officer. What it does is it gives them legal service in case they end up in, let's God forbid, an officer-involved shooting. This would provide them legal services in the court system. Free of charge, other than that $315 a year subscription. A handful of other agencies do this in the state of North Carolina. We were just looking at it as basically a benefit to our officers and our recruitment tool in the future. And that is a total of $5,100 for that budget. The last thing we are looking at, and we should have a brochure, maybe in the PowerPoint. It's not a very good picture.
Wow.
It comes up. These are crash bollards. These are to help protect our citizens in the event that we have any type of major events such as New Year's Eve, Christmas events, holiday markets, things like that. We can strategically place these in positions such as K Avenue or Atlantic Avenue, L Avenue, to help protect the citizens that are enjoying these events. I think it'll help benefit not only us, but Parks and Rec and the fire department. Currently, we're having to place vehicles in these locations, which tie those vehicles up for the duration of the event. By putting these in place, we probably would still use some vehicles, but by putting these in place, it would free those vehicles up, police vehicles and fire department vehicles, to be able to answer, to call, respond to calls quickly, emergencies quickly. We're asking for $35,000. I don't think it can put a price on the safety of our citizens. We saw what happened in New Orleans here recently. That's the kind of tragedy we are trying to prevent potentially in the future. Any questions on that?
How many bollards do you get for $35,000?
That's 25.
Now,
that does not include installation. We would have to.
Yeah, and I met with Brandon and Mike about this. We got a lot of questions. Jimmy will need to go to the areas they're wanting to put them and make sure we don't have anything in the ground that would you know, water, sewer, stormwater,
correct,
electrical. We do have a lot of location things we have to work on. I think with the situation that happened in New Orleans, there are some options out there. Carolina Beach has some stuff that's very bulky and cumbersome and takes a trailer to haul them in and put them down, and it takes a lot of manpower to do those. I think there's others you can put out and fill full of water, but then they're able, you know, but there's the cost of that also. So I think we should maybe do a little more research into this, and police and public works talk about where they want to put them and see if there's any big red flags about where they would work in those areas. So if we can't put them, if we can't put them where they look right and look nice, it may be problematic to put them in. So.
But they're removable?
They're removable.
That's in a sleeve in the ground. You just pull them out.
Like go down?
No, you pull them out.
Pull them out.
Yeah. They're not like the ones at
They're not fixed.
At the White House or somewhere like that. They go up and down.
Okay.
Well, what about integrating this into the changes we're going to be making at the intersection at K and Fort Fisher?
We're a little bit beyond that right now by adding it in there. But we should have a good set of plans for the location of what all the utilities in the ground. So that work has been, all that surveying has been done. So we have that in the set of plans.
Okay.
But we, that project down there, this would technically be outside the realm of that with the crosswalks and everything. So.
Well, I was just thinking, you got the surveys done and to put the structure in the roadway. Okay. I don't know.
We're far down the road with that project.
Yeah.
They're at 100% design and just getting, okay. And I'll update you that on that this afternoon. So. Okay.
I would like the corollary to this with the water field, plastic
ones.
Yeah. Stuff. I see those all over, and you can put those in the road.
Yeah. Brandon, maybe y'all look at the water field ones too,
okay,
while you're doing some research on it. I think we need a little bit more information before we go putting this in your budget. So,
I think a placeholder for barriers is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Have time to figure it out. So I think it goes in your budget, but you should put barriers.
And it's great to be that. I think we do have to look at that because we could have a problem with some of these events and stuff. The great thing is, a car could come out of control and come down K Avenue and burst right through that intersection and put a lot of people at risk when we close down K Avenue. So I think we do need to look at what we're doing safety-wise there. Okay. Anything else from police? All right. Recreation. Nick.
So the document is... The agenda is our 2024 year in review. That is a summary of the events, programs, classes, and projects that we were involved with throughout the previous year. We'd like to share this as a visual reference for council and for the public to see the assortment and frequency of the activity of our department. Page one is a revenue highlights. That page is all the rental revenue. So we collect rental revenue from two different means: private rentals, which are weddings, birthday parties, things of that nature, and then public events, which are our classes and programs that there are fees for via instructor use fees. The community center is the first table. That revenue line item holds both private and public rental fees together. And we had close to our best year to date in that category at close to $6,000 in the last fiscal year. Oceanfront Park rental revenue is a little bit different. That one only holds the private rental events. And we had an average year there with 4,725. And while the private rentals of Oceanfront Park have declined, the public use of the facility has increased greatly. So you see a big jump in the Oceanfront Park and Joey's Park public rentals, which almost tripled in its best year at just over $9,000. So that last table shows the complete rental revenue for the year, and we closed out the best rental revenue year we've had at almost $30,000. And then the second page at the top is our market revenue. When we added the second full-time position to the department in 2019, we brought control of market events completely in-house. Revenue has steadily increased since we've done that, and we closed out 23-24 with the highest market revenue to date at just over $15,000. We did have some weather events in August that impacted the market, so I don't think we'll hit quite that rate this year, but it will be still above some of the previous years. And then our special event and film revenue is always one that folks like to see. 23-24 was our best year to date with that as well, but this one's a little more inconsistent because it depends on what film projects or special events come in. Last year's was mostly one project, I would say it's 99% of that, but it was close to $16,000 there. It's been pretty quiet this year in that regard. We had one project that was actually scheduled, approved, and was supposed to film the day of the September storm. Obviously that one was canceled and they had not rescheduled that. So moving on to program events and classes highlights. Our recreation programs, we do host a vibrant summer schedule. We have a few small changes planned for this year. We didn't really get a good response from the Oceanfront Flick series, so we don't plan to continue that this year. We're repurposing the Kids Adventure Night into a multi-generational neighbor night. Neither of those changes will impact the budget negatively. We may shift some of the money from the Oceanfront Flicks into our Boogie in the Park because the cost for that program is going to rise. Our town-sponsored special events, we do plan to continue with those core special events, and we don't really see any budget impacts with those. Outside agency special events, we hosted six in 2024, and we processed four film permits. All six of those events are annual and should be returning this year. It's our turn also to host New Year's this year. The additional expenses incurred when we host that can be absorbed easily into our budget for our department. Some of the other departments have increased expenses with those. So. The other programs, events, and projects, kind of just a summary of other things that take a great deal of our time or some of the other projects. I'll just touch on a few of those. The ADA parking relocation and repairs, we worked with Public Works last year to get that completed prior to the start of the season. We heard a few complaints in person and online that we removed handicap parking spaces, but this is false. The results of the assessment required us to relocate a few spaces, and then we also added spaces in other locations, so the net impact to our overall number of handicap spaces was actually positive. The community center projects, we did have storm damage to that facility, and we had to close for 4 weeks while the mitigation and repairs took place. Thankfully, we didn't have to cancel anyone's wedding, but we did have to relocate and cancel a lot of classes and programs. The results of the storm damage kind of reprioritized some of the projects we had planned. We did a little extra work to the storage room to make it more resilient to future water events, and then we're having gutters installed on the sections of the building where they are not currently. We had planned this year to replace the interior electrical box, repaint the inside of the building, and a few other small projects, but we're just pushing that back to next fiscal year. We've changed the cleaning contractor over there, and the cost for that service has doubled, but the service has also improved greatly. So there may be a small request to increase that budget based on that increase. Joey's Park, we're going to discuss later, so we'll kind of skip that for now. Our internship program continues to be a great success. We currently have three very strong candidates for the summer, and we'll be conducting interviews with them over the next few weeks. Sandman is also going to be discussed later, so we won't address that here. One other item in this section is under sponsorship management, the Bluefish plaques. So we place those currently along the railing between K and L Avenue, as that's the only section of the boardwalk that we have a railing. But we're running out of space to place those. So we would like to phase that program out at the end of the fiscal year, if not sooner, if we run out of the space there. That would impact both sides of the budget. We currently budget for 50 per year. There's 11,000 in revenue and 6,000 in expenses budgeted for that program. Phasing that program out would leave a void in commemorative opportunities, sponsorship opportunities, but perhaps in one of the future projects we can build something in. The last page is just a summary of comprehensive list of all of the rec classes we have dealt with in 2024. The main gist from that is that we have 17 current classes with something going on every day of the week between the three facilities. And then there's one other item that to impact the budget that's not included in this document, that would be a new capital project, and that's the playground at Oceanfront Park. So Public Works does a great job of kind of replacing boards and pieces of that as needed, but with it being almost 13 years old at the Oceanfront, it's a wooden structure, it's kind of nearing the end of its life cycle. We have it in the capital plan for this upcoming fiscal year at $150,000. That is based on a quote that we received, just to know kind of where to start there. And that includes a small pirate ship structure made of recycled plastic, 2-inch poured in rubber flooring for accessibility and safety, a double shade structure, freight and installation. It doesn't include any demolition of the existing, which we may be able to do in-house, and any new fencing that might be required after that project. There's some potential to work with the Friends of Cary Beach group in raising funds for this project, although a commitment from the Friends group doesn't impact how much we would actually have to budget, because we still have to budget the full expense. And then should council choose to move forward, we would have to do a formal sealed bid process to award the contract due to the cost, I believe, because it's over $90,000 for equipment purchase. And today we're looking for guidance whether we would want to put that in the next fiscal year budget.
That it? Thank you, Nick. I think the Oceanfront Park project is a prime, a very good example of a way to our first partnership with the Friends group. But Nikki's correct. We would put in, we need to have a conversation with the Friends group to determine what they would feel like a comfortable level of participation for them. And then we would present that with the budget. Nikki, we'll have those conversations, and they'll need to talk about it amongst themselves too about how much they would like to try to raise there. So I think it's a good place to start, and that playground has served us well. But as we all know, playgrounds don't last forever. So and wooden structures are really a pain, and we're starting to see some other structural issues, I guess, is the best way to put it over there. So, any comment from anybody?
Yeah, good job.
All right. Arlen, you're up.
I'm up.
Mandy's up. Excuse me. I'm trying to get Arlen up there.
This year, I didn't plan any projects this year because every time I do, everything else around me falls apart. So I'm not going to chance that this year. Between the flooding that we've had at Town Hall and AC issues, I'm just going to try to maintain what we have this year. The project I do have going on is still the Public Works building, our volunteer appreciation event, employee appreciation, and then, of course, Parking 2025 for this year's houses went on sale on Saturday. I've gotten actually an email from someone that tried, I'm not sure if they were a resident or not, but they did go online, purchase a pass, talk about how streamlined it was and how great, and thanked us for making it easier. So that's a positive. And just a reminder, they're on sale this week for $50. We also have added a kiosk in our lobby, an iPad on a stand where anyone that comes in can actually purchase their parking permit there. And if you need assistance, we'll come up and help. So one of my other projects is working with the town attorney on updating our personnel policy. And again, I kept this one on there, working with BC3 on the possibility of converting our phones, especially now that we're getting a new building at Public Works. But with everything else we had going on, that one kind of fell through the cracks this year. But it's on my list. So.
Mindy, I'd like for you to put the safety program for the town employees, revisit that, you know, because we do have new employees and that type of stuff. That's one of our goals for the year. So let's make sure, I don't necessarily think you need to go back through Amy with it, but you may need to upgrade.
Well, if I don't go through her, I'm starting all over.
Okay,
with
so.
Someone else, and that's going to be costly.
Yeah, but I do think that from an OSHA standpoint, she's still doing that type of stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
But I would like for us to look at making sure what it takes, because with Jimmy's employees, and I mean, we do have certain things that are required of us from OSHA standpoint. While we talk about the Public Works building, any council members or any staff that wants to go by and see the new building, the superintendent said just to come to the trailer there and he'll outfit you in the proper safety gear. But the building, the windows are in, they're doing sheetrock work, drywall work now, and he would be glad to take you on a tour. So. Okay. I forgot to mention that during the public works session. So, that's all our.
I have one more thing.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Don't shoot me. But I think that we're gonna cut back on food for meetings because our catering options on this end of town are very slim. And very expensive. We're using Millville Island today, and we got a good rate with them because we're doing both meals, but it's still very expensive to do. So I think, and because, I mean, we start our meetings at 9 a.m. and then we turn around and serve lunch at 12. I mean, it's kind of a lot to have a huge breakfast and a huge lunch. So I think we're going to switch to a continental style breakfast and just do like muffins and yogurt, fruit. And then, you know, a lighter lunch option.
As long as you have coffee, we're fine.
That's right.
As long as what?
Have coffee, you're fine.
And you got cake cups as well.
But yeah, we need to cut back. It's just getting out of control. Because I have to order for 25 minimum.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Anything else for department heads, I think.
I have a question.
Yeah, Connie.
Are you going to put somewhere about the kiosk? I didn't know about that in the lobby.
When you communicate this week?
I guess you show up here and you find the kiosk, right?
We haven't really advertised that because if you're a non-resident, I mean, technically you're going to
do it online.
You're going to do it online.
Yeah, so it's for the people that.
Yeah, it's for people that come in the
building. Well, and tell them about Meredith's problem when she walks
in. Last year and in years past, for the last 4 years, Meredith goes from her office to here, to this end of the building with her computer.
Right.
And somewhere along the way, it loses the connection. And we have researched this with VC3. We've added Wi-Fi points, but somewhere along the way, it kicks her out of the cloud. So she constantly, all day long, logs back in.
So the kiosk will solve that
problem. Will help solve that so that if she needs to come up and help someone, she doesn't have to drag her laptop and risk dropping it, breaking it. You know what I mean? It's more of a convenience for staff than it is for the citizens.
No, that makes sense. Okay.
It's ease for citizens, but then she can just come up and everything's already there in the lobby for her.
Got it.
Okay. I think we're ready for our 10:45 break. Let's come back at 11. Let's stay on schedule. Let's just come back at, David, you got some work things you need to do.
That's fine.
So let's come back at 11 o'clock. Is that okay? All right. Sure.